Hey friends, it's a beautiful snowy day here in the Colorado mountains as I make my way back to Wyoming. I was just thinking to myself, it's snowy in the fact that it has snowed, but it's not currently snowing. And I am safe. I am on the roads that have been plowed on my side. I am aware of all the traffic. I had the opportunity this weekend to attend the Psychotherapy Networker conference virtually, which means 4 days with 5,000 therapists, clinicians, which are licensed clinical social workers, licensed in marriage family therapists, licensed clinical professional counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, psychiatric nurse practitioners. Over 1,000 of us were online, and 4,000 people were together in Washington, D.C. This has become one of my favorite conferences to attend. And so for those of you that don't know, we clinicians who are licensed, we have to complete continuing education every year, depending on where we're licensed and what the requirements are. It's typically 20 hours a year, and 3 of those hours need to be around ethics. And then, you know, typically we get to choose topics that we are, we are interested in. And so this conference came to me because I have a colleague who's really loved it, and I attended it last year. And then this year I was like, yeah, I got to do this again. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the knowledge I've learned. But I also got to tell you, I was exhausted. There was one whole day that really were topics about my own work that I need to be doing, my own stuff that I need to be working on, and working through the, you know, trauma of my own childhood, working through the trauma of my marriages, working through me bringing trauma to my own children. And some of you might be like, Stacey, what do you mean trauma to your own children? So, you know, we have the ACE study, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And one of the questions is, were your parents divorced? Did you grow up in a home with divorce? And my kids are going to say yes. My kids will forever say yes to that question. And so, yeah, that's me creating a trauma for my own children. And so I have been working hard on awareness and intentionality and how I show up and how I'm also breaking my own generational patterns. And so this weekend I hit topics around affairs and betrayal. Do a lot of couples work, and affairs and betrayal is a huge topic. It's a huge topic that's very taboo. I've had my own experiences with that, and, you know, in some of my own relationships, and that's a topic that nobody wants to talk about. We also discussed adult children of immature parents, and that one was just, that was a lot. That was a lot for me personally to be thinking about, both in my own experiences as I watch my own children. What kind of development did I miss out on because of the home I grew up in? I also did topics around internal family system, which is parts work. And if you've hung out with me very often, either personally or professionally, we talk about little Stacy, and there's little parts of you all the time. You don't walk across a threshold of a room without your own experiences. So it's important to know what those parts provide for you. And that was really powerful. The person who was doing the training said something that was very interesting to me. He said, our parts that feel suicidal are not the first responders. They are the last responders. And that has been something I've been sitting with this last few days, because I work with a lot of clients who have suicidal ideation or suicidal plan. And it's a huge piece of my military population for sure. But even in my population, my private practice clients, we see suicidal ideation increase due to traumatic experiences. And so the idea that the part of us that needs to be honored that really brings that suicidal ideation to the table is a part that protects us and is a last responder, it often makes me wonder, are we exploring all the other parts that have tried, that have been the first responders? And so I'll be sitting with that quite a bit, actually, for the next few days, next few weeks, next few months. I also did a training about tapping and adding tapping to healing the body, which is something that if you're an EMDR therapist, you know that we do tapping. If you've been in EMDR therapy, tapping's a huge part. And what I appreciated about this particular presenter is the discussion around bilateral stimulation. And it doesn't just have to be tapping. It's how do we get our whole brain involved and activated in our healing. And so bilateral music, binaural sounds, oh, it was just so much goodness. I really appreciated that. Had the opportunity to listen to Brian Stevenson's work. He runs the Justice Initiative. And if you don't know about Brian Stevenson, my friends, look him up, listen to him. His movie, his book, Just Mercy, he's doing really important work. And one of the things he said that has been sitting with me is, we have to have uncomfortable conversations. We can no longer maintain the status quo. We can no longer keep our mouths shut. We can no longer just be okay, excuse me, with where we're at in the world. We have to say something. We have to have uncomfortable conversations. And that's been something that I have really been considering in my own life. Even doing this perspective right now and acknowledging, yeah, you know, affairs and betrayal have been a part of my own journey. 47 years, I've got some stories for my own personal journey. And that is a big acknowledgement. That feels vulnerable. That feels scary to say that. And it's not talked about enough. And if I'm not talking about it, who's talking about it? Who are the people that are talking about this? And so we have to start owning our own stories. And I'm here to do that. And so thank you, Brian Stevenson. Prentice Hemphill, beautiful speaker. And one of the things they said was, we have to be in spaces to change the culture, even if we're uncomfortable in those spaces. If we're not in spaces, we can't change culture. And I really appreciate that piece. And then I did some yoga. I'm not new to yoga. I've done yoga. And I have some great yoga providers. And the conversation around trauma-informed yoga has been one that is ongoing and important and valuable. And then how do you find a provider who knows what they're doing? And so I'm learning about that. And then I ended the conference in a session with Dr. David Grand talking about brain spotting. And if you don't know about brain spotting, I'm here. I'm here to help you learn. Also listen to my chitty chat with my sister, Stephanie Newman. She has been doing brain spotting for a long time. And I have just, in my own therapy, I've just started with a new therapist myself and have added bilateral music to my therapy work and have opened up the pieces about starting to do brain spotting. I have several people in my life who are experiencing brain spotting. And one of the things so David Grand said a lot of things I already agree with. One of the things he said that I've agreed with for a very long time, and I've discussed with, or I've heard Dr. Perry discuss, is the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, where we diagnose people with a problem and then we turn it into insurance so that we can get paid, and then we create a treatment plan. And what happens is it's a medical model and it perpetuates illness. And I think most clinicians who've been doing this work for a really long time and are very attuned to their clients don't agree. We don't agree. We don't like diagnosing. We don't want to diagnose. We don't want to perpetuate illness. We want people to get better. And we have a model that doesn't work. And it's creating additional anxiety, additional depression. And what he said that I really appreciate is that brain spotting and this, he calls it guidelines around brain spotting, is about what happens with clients organically. And I've been a clinician now for over 20 years, and I've often said clients know exactly where they need to go and they know exactly what they need to heal. Therapists just have to get out of the way. And I've had a lot of experience with people who've had really terrible therapists. And I think what I learned yesterday as I watched the chat box and I read questions and I listened is that therapists want control. I think I've known that, but we don't want to get out of the way. We want to tell people how to heal. We want to tell them what to do. And the reality is that's just not how it works. I know I've been in therapy for a long time and working on a lot of stuff. And my clinician will tell me, hey, you should try this, or hey, what about that? And I rarely do that. I'm a terrible client. Or I do that when I'm ready to do that. It's a part of my journey. And so I love when he says, you know, brain spotting is about what organically takes place in the therapy room. And it's about getting out of your frontal lobe, your cortex, and getting underneath that and sitting. It's about sitting in the hard stuff. And I think that's another piece as clinicians where we have to be quiet, and silence is our superpower. Silence is something that is very useful when we just let clients sit with what is happening, and we're witnessing it. We're there and we're witnessing what's happening inside of them. We're seeing them release stress. We're seeing them release trauma. We don't always have to know what it is that's going on inside of them to just be a witness and hold space for that. And so, super powerful weekend. Always come away exhausted, filled with a lot of knowledge. I love listening and learning. It reminds me that I'm on my own journey. I have my own stuff to always be working on. And I'm working through some things. One of the people I listened to on Thursday was a 5-hour class. And Dr. Abby Blakesley talked a lot about healing, the embodiment of healing developmental trauma, or just healing trauma. And that, you know, not only does our body keep the score, our body tells us the score. And I sat with that, and there were a few times I just became super tearful, and I'll probably get teary as I cry about this because it's one of the things I need to work on. I haven't allowed myself the space to think about and talk about having a miscarriage. That's a huge loss. I know many women who have experienced that loss and who will always feel the loss. And I am a believer that grief is the ultimate love story. And I think miscarriage is a part of that. And so I am walking away from the weekend really settling into my own work and my own topics of what I need to look at and process and let go of, work through, release, embody, all that kind of stuff. I also want to point out that I'm going to function. I'll be okay. This doesn't level me out. I did a lot of regulation during this time. I was on my rower while I was listening to some presentations. I made sure I sat in my hot tub every night. I ate nourishing food, hugged my kids, and I feel like I added regulation as we went through these topics. So shout out to all my clinicians who are doing your work, who are continuing to grow. We can't take our clients where they need to go if we're not willing to go there ourselves. And a bigger shout out to all my clients and the humans who are brave enough to sit on the couch, open up your heart, and allow someone to be with you, witness, and just be in it. And so I love you and I'm here for you, and I'm just sending all the love and energy I can out into the world this week. Hope you have a great week.